As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. Kayla's starting to run the controls now, so. The first order of business, for those that are able to, please stand and pledge of allegiance. Flags on the wall behind. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of
America.
To the Republic
of America. One nation, under God. Indivisible, liberty, for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Not the camera. Peter.
Isn't that the Army's birthday?
Finance officer, please take your
what?
Birch.
Here.
Spurk.
Present.
Ludens.
Here.
Mueller.
Here.
Okay, so we have four voting members who are absent. We do have a quorum. One member is remote. So this regular meeting is now in session. So the first item is the approval of the agenda. I have no recommendations, so.
How come we don't have anything about the big visit at the end of the month on the agenda?
And when we talk about it, we'll get to my mayor's slide.
Is that what it is? Okay, so it is there. Right?
Yes, so it is there.
Okay. In which case, I make a motion we approve the agenda as written.
I'll second.
Okay, so Stu's made the motion to approve the agenda as written. Caitlin seconded. Any other comments? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. All right, so the agenda is approved as written, and we will move on. So the first of our four monthly items are the minutes of the two previous meetings in March, the regular meeting May 3rd, and the Special Board of Equalization meeting on March 17th. I'm sorry, March 3rd and March 17th.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the March 3rd, 2025 regular meeting and the March 17th, 2025 special meeting.
I second.
Okay, so Steve's made the motion to accept the minutes for March 3rd and March 17th meetings as published. Cheryl has seconded. Any further questions or discussions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. And the minutes are accepted. The next item is approval of claims for March.
Any idiosyncrasies or strange items?
Not necessarily strange items. I was going to say, we did pay for the P25 radios for the police, or that was the Motorola. So that was kind of a big one. That was about it.
He was asking about 29 and 44. That was just payment out for refund for the ambulance.
For the regional South Dakota grant with the Department of Health. So we'll try to do it every month where there's some sort of reimbursement, or excuse me, it'll be a claim to the individual or company. And then I submit reimbursement after the meeting.
I figured you had to do something with the ambulance.
It was the grant we got to help pay people to educate around the community.
And I always shorten it to our number and whatever it is. So it's the reimbursement request and then
okay. That's what I figured I figured I'd ask anyway.
Make a motion we approve the claims as printed.
I'll second.
If Systems has made the motion to accept the claims as written, Steve has seconded. Any further discussion or questions on the claims? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So the claims are accepted. Next item is the finance officer's report for March.
Nothing ordinary or further explanation?
Nothing out of the ordinary. Just kind of keep an eye on the 602-1072, where that's the water bond reserve. So I move that over each month. So we've already got 18.6 in there. That's what we do, like I said, every month as until we have that 1 year payment built up.
Sure. Make the motion we approve the finance officer's report.
I second.
Okay, so Susan made the motion to accept the finance officer's report as written. Cheryl has seconded. Any further discussions or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. And the finance officer's report is accepted. And the last item is a $3,000 donation from the Bargain Shop and Pendle to the ambulance department. Is there action to accept that name?
I'll accept it.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
So Steve's made the motion to accept the donations as presented. Stu has seconded. Any further questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. So there are three ayes, zero nays, one abstention. The motion carries and the donation is accepted. I'm not sure what the Bargain Shop did, but they had a good month because they donated $20,000 last month to the ambulance departments. So, them, good for us. The next item up is public comments. So, if there's any members of the public that would like to speak at this time, we have up to 3 minutes. Hearing none, we will move on. Okay, official correspondence. We have two things. I'll probably muddle through the first one. So if you have questions, please come and actually get a more detailed explanation. We received, it's broken down into two letters from the Department of Ag and Natural Resources. This was a change that was requested for annual permits. Our permitting process, the permit changed. So the item number one is our current individual to no discharge permit coverage, number SD0022047, has been a request has been reviewed to transfer that permit from individual surface water discharge permit to a general no discharge permit effective April 1st, 2025. And then the second half of that is the second letter that says the surface water discharge general permit coverage number SDG822074, or surface water discharge general, no discharge permit for the city of Springfield. This permit is effective April 1st, 2025. If you have questions, please contact the Department of Ag and Natural Resources. The difference.
What's the layman's definition of what you're talking about?
Is that we've gone from a surface discharge that allowed for some discharge, which we don't generally do, to one that's a non, and that's because we have the ability to retain all of the wastewater. So. And as we move out of, I believe this requires a little clarification too, but as we move out of our current water treatment facility with the lime sludge ponds, we'll no longer need them. So that was there because you could have an accident that could run into the river. So that no longer happens. Okay.
And it's too good.
And then we'll leave cheaper.
No, it is. It's good.
And then the second item for official correspondence is a thank you from LifeServe, previous blood drive. There are 14 appointments, 14 registered donors, 15 units collected, 45 lives saved or sustained. Next blood drive here is May 8, 2025, which is a Thursday, starting at 3 p.m. right here in the community center. So, thanks to bad timing, I'm in the front page of the paper. I do double reds. I encourage anybody to give. But it's great. And for those that haven't or don't quite understand it, they have loosened up some rules. So some folks that couldn't in the past can't now. Okay, city reports. I'll go through these a little bit quicker. The 2024 annual drinking water report is out. We will publish that or have published it.
We have not published it yet, but it will be. I can't remember if I had it later this month or the beginning. Okay.
There's a water tower maintenance piece that's coming up. That was just a small item. It didn't go off for contracting because the cost was relatively cheap. That's it, to do some maintenance on the inside of the water tower. It is not like it was last year with the standpipe and everything. This was $4,000.
I don't think it was even that much.
That much, so.
And they don't have to drain the
water tower. Yeah, it's $3,800. And the advantage here is they don't have to drain the tower. The other companies that had submitted proposals would have required the water tower to be drained. And I certainly concurred with Joe and Les that given our place with our current water treatment plant in transition, draining the tower would not have been the best idea. So this was advantageous to get that done. And then you can see the CWSRF and the DWSRF, those are the two applications that were approved for additional funding for 11th Street. So those were submitted the April 1st day. Maybe a couple of months before we catch the results of that.
So do they have any idea when the new plan is going to be online?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
On that detail brief. Citywide cleanup is the 14th. The ad's in the paper, so that's next Monday. Couple of things for the record. First of all, bulk or large quantities are not going to be removed by the city. It's not the intent or the city's job to haul away dump truck loads full of stuff. So this is much smaller items and is a courtesy to the resident. Items need to be out first thing Monday morning, because once they start going through, they don't stop until they get everything picked up. It's only what is permissible on the county landfill, which was published in the paper. And for those that have items that are taken out to the right of way, they'll need to have those removed relatively short period afterward, or at least after the garbage disposal goes through as well. Sometimes it's a struggle to get them back to the alley or out. So anything larger than we'll deal with at the end of the month.
Is there any way around that will take electronics?
No. The nearest place anymore is an outfit in Sioux Falls that will do it. They'll actually buy it by the ton. I think there might be a place in Norfolk, but the gate and one closed up shop 2 years ago. So.
Was that the one that the Legion had?
Yeah, that's the one that worked with us. So, unfortunately, no. As far as this airport report, we'll go into detail with the construction. This is just to note, again, for the record, that Lindeman Field at Springfield Municipal Airport was closed effective April 4th until further notice for the pavement reconstruction. I will get into more detail on that. I did not get a report from the fire department, the ambulance department. I'll summarize this real quick. Multiple runs during the month of March, like I said. And like I told everybody before, and for the record, I know there was at least one stretch of 5 days in a row. 33 runs year to date, meant one every 3 days on average. If that continues, certainly that is a excruciatingly busy year. Last year ended up with about 128, so sorry, probably in front of that a little bit. This afternoon there was a training and grant execution meeting that Amanda was in with them to execute their grants that they currently have. And then tomorrow night is the final stop of the bleed training in Scotland. Police department, we are continuing search. If anybody knows, please go out and recruit. And tomorrow the P25 radios and the in-car camera system have installation completed. will be a significant upgrade for them. Next, Evelyn Lane Library, and you can see there the kindergarten first grade came.
They're coming two times a month.
Exciting days. Either be here to help them out or not be here and avoid a very noisy thing. So you can see the numbers top time at 16, which is a pretty good number. And they're working their policies. And like they will be looking for even more members. So. The pools and parks and recreation. We had actually three meetings in the last 2-3 weeks with them, the Springfield Summer Youth Association. We've got a couple times to work on some of those items for all programs. They have their parent sign up meeting and uniform tryout tomorrow night. Looks like we probably are going to be good on coaches for the teams that we'll have. So those get finalized. There's already some scheduling stuff already going on. They have games the 10th of May. Somewhere right in there. So, something like that.
One of the meetings is tomorrow at the end of the
month. Yes. And they're going to do a community-wide park cleanup on the 27th. So, volunteers are asked for. There'll be a sign-up to make sure you're on the roster coverage, but they want to get the field ready for play. Pool meeting, we met Saturday morning with pool manager, along with the old pool manager, a very good meeting. So had a pretty good lifeguard update. So it looks like we have good applications on that. We'll have a good number of swimming instructors again. So we're in pretty good shape for that going forward. Talked a little bit about the concessions. There'll be some changes from Amy to Kimmy, and it's probably a good year to learn and make some more changes on how that works. Get it increasingly out of Amy's pockets and shift a little bit more towards the city. So, and then went over some items that we'll need to get up and get ready for the year. Some t-shirts, sweatshirts, a couple items for the folks. The target date for opening was or is Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. A couple other items. I've been down to the campground, so it is fully open now for the season. I do know that they have a host coming later on, so that'll be good. Both ramps are in. There's already been some activity. The first fishing tournament that I know of is April 27th. That's a Sunday. It's the Big Sioux Cat Anglers. They're out of northwest Iowa. They'll be on there. They also come back in September as part of the Lewis and Clark Catfish Classic. And I also think the 27th of April is the first published golf tournament. You know, about activity starting at the end of the month. Okay. Finance officer.
Okay. Election tomorrow, so poll will be open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We've already pretty much got most of the things set up and ready to go. So like I said, tomorrow election, and then the canvas with you guys is scheduled for Thursday, April 10th in Scott's office at 11 a.m. So we'll finish up with that. Companion Life, that was finally effective March 1st. And what that is the vision side of the insurance that we had talked about way back in December. Like I said, that we finally got that all figured out and effective. Third thing, ACH water payments. Kayla's starting to work on that and figure out kind of the background information so that we can get that out to citizens and then just have it automatically withdraw from accounts as they wish. Fourth, the HRC RLF, which is basically the Housing and Redevelopment Committee, in their revolving loan that they have. And that is complete. So that was effective, I think, last month. So we'll get some paperwork out to them to let them know that is all wrapped up. Five, Easter administrative leaves. The governor had granted Good Friday and Easter Monday off. And since we follow the governor, that will also be the case for our office. And then finally, but not least, I wanted to definitely say thank you to Kayla and Scott, since March was a hot mess for me and being sick and out and trying to keep up with things. So she really stepped up to the plate, and I very much appreciate that. So just an additional.
And what did you say about the 11th?
The canvas for the election. It's basically to go through and just validate and recount.
Thursday the 10th at 11 a.m.
But we don't have, do we have?
Yes, we have a meeting. It's a special meeting on the city.
Okay, the 10th of April?
Which is Thursday.
At what time?
11 a.m.
That doesn't work well for me.
Okay, I'll try to be here. I'll probably be all of fertilizer, but I'll call in.
Which we call in again. It needs to be done. It needs to be done within a timely afterwards. So call in is fine. If we go all remote, we'll publish. Just let us know before the end of the meeting so that we can publish.
I'm starting to call fertilizer again tomorrow, but I don't know. Because I'm going to be way up there as far as myself there by safety.
Sure.
But I'll let you know
okay. The
day before. Like I said, I'll probably
call information. And, but the thing is I do need signatures. So we'll have to make sure that we get that. That's important.
Okay. I'll just add a couple things on the hurt real quick. The Easter admin league is for all the state.
Oh, yeah.
We want to leave those folks out. And that does go to the governor's office. And as far as you think, I was sick too. So Sheila did a fantastic job, and we're very fortunate that we kept it up. To the folks in town that came by and were understanding and all the email and everything else. So going on to mine, I'm going to skip number one and come back to it because we're going to have a larger discussion on that. So I'll hit the project boundary fence real quick. We did this last year. This is a cyber assessment. It comes out of Dakota State University. We did it last year for the finance office area. They come, send us some items. They remotely assess our cyber connection. They work to get into our networks, computers, all that kind of stuff. We learned some things last year, some recommendations, some changes we made. Round two this year will focus on the water plant, the new water plant, as well as the police and ambulance area over there, where those computers sometimes have some sensitive items that can go on. So you want to make sure there are detections there. So pretty good. Cost us nothing.
Well, and the reason why we're going through it a second time is because it's also tied to the possibility of getting a firewall.
Free firewall.
Yes.
This kind of ties with the first item that we'll talk about, the prison reset piece, but this is something that's been floating out there that we just haven't got around to, so I'm going to put it on the main agenda. A year and a half ago, we had our housing study completed. We got it. We never really went over it within the community. The Economic Development Course, the Economic Development Corporation assisted with that. Or help pay for it. It has some really good, very valuable information on it. It does say this is a very good place to invest in housing and residency. So District 3 is willing to help out with some understanding of this. So my proposal is put this on the main agenda to get it going, at least within the council side, and then look at doing some kind of probably a targeted symposium, maybe some folks that are in the business in town, looking to get in the business, something just as an understanding, and have District 3 come help out to understand what's in that report. It does get a little detailed, but it does have a lot of good demographics. A couple things that are takeaways out of it right now is that within Springfield, we are employing just about as many 18 to 65 year olds that live in town. There aren't too many small towns that have that. They have as many people working there as they're living there. So in the prison, Rushco, their jobs in town, we're very heavily employed. So that goes into the housing piece. We do have a number of houses that are not on the market that certainly look like they're capable or should be with a little bit of assistance or guidance or understanding that you can get the things rented, and we need a variety from small entry level type stuff to some larger ones. So houses for sale tend not to stay for sale down very long unless they're in really, really rough shape or really overpriced. So let's go to number one. The Project PRISM Reset Task Force has initiated. I went to the April 3rd meeting. It is online that the boards and commissions to include a audio recording. The first half of that was entirely briefings from DOC and a couple other supporting agencies on primarily on Sioux Falls. That was the focus for that one. The day before, they had done a tour of the South Dakota State Prison as well as the proposed or a potential building site by Harrisburg. The public address in the afternoon, I think there were about 13 that went through. They were limited to 10 minutes. A couple, three came with some handouts that they had handed out and tried to get in front of the committee. I think I have one of them, a couple other ones. I don't know if they're going to publish those or where they're going to be. And evidently, there was a video that was made and sent the day before as well. From what I saw in the back of the room and sat and listened to, there really was really was anything that wasn't already out there. Not a whole lot of focus here, but certainly a lot of focus up there. I want to talk about recidivism and rehabilitation and a lot of programs that, they probably should be there and they need to be addressed. But in the end, it got to be fairly repetitive. The task force did not actually meet and discuss anything they saw the day before. They're going to do that here this week. That will be on the Springfield agenda. That gave them some time to digest what they saw at the Hill and Sioux Falls and come down here. So
there's a ton of resistance on two levels to that penitentiary. One is the people in Lincoln County and the surrounding area of Harrisburg don't want it there. That's number one. There's a ton of folks who have been organized and have put together handouts and briefed the legislature in the past session in a number of different committee hearings. And then there's another group of people, which is a wider group of people across the state who are against it just because of the price tag that's associated with it. Nobody wants to tag the state of South Dakota with a $1 billion bill. That's got to be paid. And even though the Fed provides some percent of it, maybe even a lot of it, that doesn't mean we should all just genuflect and accept whatever's handed down to us. Now, the other thing I have to pass on, which is relatively new information based on some conversations with people, trusted agents, what have you, is, and this is rumor, but I think it's pretty good rumor, that this task force is really window dressing and that the decision is ultimately going to be made out of the governor's office. And the only option that's going to be considered is the Lincoln County Prison. So it's like the irresistible force and the immovable object is the situation we're facing here, given citizen resistance and a decision in theory already having been made behind the scenes. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but there are a number of people who are saying that, so we'll see.
There were a couple of things there. I think they threw it out, so I have to go back and look. They did hire another study group that has like 70 some days to go through. I forget the name. They announced that day at that meeting.
So this will be a third one.
That's kind of a very rapid, I think, take what's been out there before from what I understand the proposal. Let's just go back over and make sure it's legit or anything else. And then the day after the meeting, DOC did put out an RFI for land purchases. This is for within 20 miles of Sioux Falls. It basically spells out the amount, the acreage, utility needs as far as just being water requirements, stuff like that. So
that is a presumption of a central, single central facility.
Then. Yes. Yeah.
Which, again, that doesn't necessarily need to be the only option considered. That's what we got to get to.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Now, this RFI is out, closes on the 24th, or at least it says preferred submission by the 24th. So I don't know if that will, given the timeline, if they'll learn anything about it.
Here are the leaders of RFIs, or at least one RFI that says regional prisons, what would you propose to do, or what could you do from a land facility improvement point of view? I mean, that would inform the task force a lot more, you know, from our point of view.
So again, not a whole lot of takeaways from, you know, from the initial one. It was there. There was it was going to be the briefing itself was pretty good. So, but the task force itself didn't really discuss much. That sounds like that'll be a little bit more. The meeting, the 29th here in Springfield, will be a lot less, as I understand it. And there's no agenda out, but it won't be the 4 hours death by PowerPoint in the morning. It'll be much more the task force trying to meet. So,
do we have any input into the agenda?
The only input that, well, I would say probably no. They are giving me 15 minutes on the official agenda, so which is
why I come here, then. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they will be here to tour the facility.
Oh, they are going to tour.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's not just for the meeting. That's where, without knowing the agenda, they'll probably do a morning there and it's like pretty quick.
Yeah, they're coming to a town that's had a prison. Okay. Lincoln County doesn't have a prison, and the people who are going to come there who came to Sioux Falls to talk about it, you know, they have no idea what it's like to have a prison. So you'd think they were going to come here and talk to a people in a town that have a prison, they would want that input, you know, to inform their decision process. Okay? Skeptical, cynical, paranoid me says that the fact that they're not doing that confirms the rumor. Okay.
Well, they're
rumoring. They already have the decision made, and this is just window dressing coming down here.
Well, they'll certainly be here, and they'll certainly have a public meeting here. So,
I do have I did receive a text message from a couple that were at that meeting and asked me some questions about having a prison in our community. And it was a very good conversation that I think I had with them. And I just kind of wanted to touch base on that.
Who's the them?
I'm not going to release the individual who had called me.
Oh, is this a state legislator?
No. This was a private citizen.
Oh, well, okay, fine.
So we'll kind of go into that. I was provided with Lieutenant Governor asked, and he gave me a few minutes at the very end to do a welcome to Springfield. So
I'll just say again, from our point of view, it seems to me we got to do whatever we can to ensure we have some people in a room who are willing to talk about the benefits, pros of having that prison here in town. Okay. And the fact that we have, I mean, you're the best guy in history. Okay. So I hope you're going to have a story about the history of the prison and how things have evolved in this town, because they need to hear that. Okay. You've got to hear that.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, because I left it open as far as my 15 minutes on what I would present. And after sitting through this meeting and hearing some comments, a couple of them that kind of continue with a little bit of the inaccuracies of some history. So I think that's
correct. Correct. Exactly.
If we get back to, the prison there on the hill and the college here were authorized in the same, but they took very different paths. And there were no buildings here at the time.
But we need to have some guys in the room who would be affected directly if the prison pulled out, or if the prison population was transferred here. What's the impact on their businesses? Okay.
Sure.
Got to be able to have that. They need to hear about it. So
that's really kind of doing that and coming back. And then because so much has been talked about rehabilitation, however, the history and some feelings and have a little help here addressing this, but the reality is that in the end, 40 years later, the fact that they took a vocational educational college and turned it into a minimum security prison hugely benefited the state to understand how to do this, and it has all of the facilities that
right.
created. Now, the inmate population is a whole different story, right, and how that's changing both years. So,
but there's also the story of the skills learned by the prison population over time too. They're actually learning useful skills. Okay, that's a part of the story that these guys need to hear too when they come to town.
Yeah, right now a lot of that's focused up on that piece, and the reality is at the maximum security levels, rehabilitation is kind of a much different than it is here. These folks have insurance.
Okay, I don't presume to tell you what to do, but I'd dearly love to see or hear you talk about the fact that, you know, you guys ought to also consider some regional improvements to places like our facility. Yeah. We can accommodate more. We have room for another dormitory. If we're talking about rehabilitation, now we're already dealing with the Indians across the way. I want to do something with St. Mary's School over here. So why not? Let's put some state money or get some BIA money into a rehab or a drug rehabilitation facility instead of this nonsense about a medical marijuana facility.
Yeah, yeah.
And do that in partnership with DOC.
Yeah,
something like that would be. I mean, these guys need to hear something like that.
Yeah,
so there's synergy between federal money potentially and state money, which would, you know, keep our prison and maybe expand the facilities and create some jobs on the sovereign land here at St. Mary's.
One of the other things that I think was hugely underrepresented so far in that meeting, and as one little comment, I know Cheryl was listening and she kind of picked up on it that needs some explanation too, is they talk about the employment numbers. Well, they talk about how many DOC employees there are, and it wasn't a sly comment against us, because it was just asked about Sioux Falls and staffing, and nobody said that staffing here is poor. It's just they've been having some pretty good success in Sioux Falls. But when I looked at the numbers on the chart, and even just today driving by the prison, it is not in any way accommodating to all the other non-DOC folks that work there. You know, we have the public housing folks that work here. We have counselors that come in. We have the dental techs from USD that come and do things here. So that right now is not being demonstrated. And maybe in Sioux Falls they don't have that. I don't know. But here we do. So when they say, well, there's, you know, 200 employees here stretched out over a 24-hour period, that's not really representative of what's actually going on here on a daily basis. So that may be a piece to bring into. And again, that brings in the things like, and where we can help out is things like the housing and stuff, and understand that we have those things that are out there that are available. So we have a pretty good period. I feel pretty confident about it.
All right, logistics wise, they're coming in the morning, in the afternoon. Why?
I don't have a schedule. They're going to be here all day. That's the best they told me. We're doing lunch.
What's the weird? We're doing lunch part.
The chamber is purchasing the lunch. We'll do it here based upon what they did there. Most of their lunch there was actually late, so it was nothing more than and we're going to do much better than the Heritage place up there. But it is very compressed, and it's just when they essentially have time. So
they'll get a hot lunch out of there.
Yeah, well, we're getting it through the chamber, getting it. So
right.
We'll have it here set up. So whenever assuming that their morning starts over there before they move here, they swing through, we get them here. This room will be set up. So I'll put a public broadcasting, and they'll stream the whole thing. So it'll be very similar there. I have no doubts. It's a nice facility. We're going to do a much better job at having a good professional host there. Like I said, I know our lunch is going to be better than loaded tortillas, so I know we can do better than that. But then the other man has to get them through here. A lot of those folks have never been here. Some have, but right. A lot have never been to here. So, but to that point, again, that's where we're at now. They've got point of contact with the building. I would assume, yeah, it's all assumptions. So, morning at the facility. Yeah.
Check.
Yeah. No, not at this time.
Not yet, but we will.
May I ask what Caitlin said? I didn't hear it.
She asked about ensuring that probably the week before, we could put a notice in the paper that there may be a quorum of council members here.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Really, it's
planning and process.
The more I get, the more we get here, I'll make sure that the council is aware of any schedule, stuff like that, so that any needs that we may have to do that. But if you are looking at a schedule for the 29th, please try to plan on being here on the 29th of the afternoon. And you and council members are clearly invited to attend the lunch as well. Just be ready to double down or observe or do whatever we need to do to make it a good
event. I'm not going to be a councilman by then, right?
Yes, you will, because you will not be a councilman until May.
Shit.
And what day?
The 29th?
I think it's Wednesday. I think all meetings are Wednesday. All right. And then actually the following meeting after that is on the 3rd of June, I'm sorry. So I think we may need to change our council. We'll deal with that next month. Okay. Water treatment plants. We do have action. There is a pay app number 25 for $21,541.79.
Planted, right? Thank you, Mike. We approve the Hymer pay app number 25 for $21,000 and change.
Second.
Okay, so Stu's made the motion to approve pay app number 25. Steve, a second. Then any other questions or comments? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Passing. Okay, so a little larger update here. In the last month, we received back change orders 8, 9, and 10 have been approved, so they are moving forward. Those are both screen. In fact, I saw a site dump pulling out of there this afternoon full of trees and stuff from down by the pump house. 11R2, which was approved by the council last March, is currently in RD. That has been said that will get approved. That's basically a downgrade to the one with some of the items on 8th Street that they funded or would not fund, so we just had to do a quick one. That said, we're at a point now where looking ahead, there are change orders 12, 13, and 14 that cover down on a various number of things, some smaller pieces, parts, changing dates that are sitting out there that are being done by Camden and SPN. Earlier this month, we did have a budget meeting amongst the city, District 3, SPN, and rural development. And essentially what that meeting was all about, or certainly what it ended up as we went through it, was looking at the current grant funding, where we're at, and how and what we need to do to not only execute that, but to make sure that we are meeting the needs of the plant. So we have a couple options, which is good, a couple things on the table, to start prepping some estimates for. Everybody is really digging down now to watch these change orders and see what is happening in the world. And something that was approved, you know, for a certain amount of money, is that suddenly going to raise in cost, probably not going to lower, stuff like that. So we're definitely on the home stretch as far as that. We're not going to give up any grant money, any way, shape, or form, because that's what we're at now. So I think that out of that meeting, we came up with a good plan to include addressing some accessibility items in this building. So well, we have to get moving on some estimates. So we'll continue to do those probably on a little more regular basis than we have so far. So to really drill down and make sure we're doing that, but at the same time, we don't end up with a change order or something that is the greatest thing and we agree to do it, and then only to find out 2 or 3 months later that we ran out of money and suddenly we're stuck with a big bill that we didn't anticipate. So we're getting down to that point. The plan itself, there's ongoing performance testing. They've run into a couple items as far as the skids and going through and having to do some calibration and some cleaning. That is all part of the testing, so it's taking a little bit longer. But it looks like they're figuring it out. As always, it's been frustrating. Don't necessarily see something going on, but it doesn't mean nothing. The two pictures on there, I ran up today. I saw these things in action. I was kind of hoping they would be running, but they're not. The left picture, the clarifier is that huge two-story piece of iron that was sitting out here in the yard. It's the thing that they brought over in two pieces with the big crane, set it down, welded it together, and then built the building. Its purpose is to take the raw water coming out of the river, go through as much silt and rubbish and whatever is in there, get it out of there before it goes into the actual purification systems. The one on the left, again, it's kind of tough to see without the lights. That's that very brown, murky, straight out of the river water that's going there. The picture on the other side is just the other side of the same apparatus after it goes through the clarification procedure. And I need to know that right now, this time of year, is when the worst quality of water comes out of the river. The water's coming up. It's the most turbid. The water that's coming out of the far side of the clarifier going into the purification system almost meets the clarity standards that are required to do it. So it really works. And as it stands right now, that's just because it's new. As that system goes through and it builds up some sludge and some crud in the bottom, it actually makes it work even better. So we're pushing through and coming out with a much cleaner water. Almost to the point of sometimes where ours is, but it's just really close to that. Then it gets pumped into the system and goes to the purification. So because of performance testing, you've already drank the water. So it's already on the water tower. So you've already been, have tasted it. There's a mixture of it between the two plants. So it's been tested. It's meeting all the test standards and everything. So the items inside the plant, calibration, stuff like that is to make sure everything works and serves. So doing well there. Our next big capital improvements project kicked off. As I said, the airport closed officially on the 4th of April for about 100 days. That picture is from today. The machine on the left is going down on either side of the runway, and it's actually scouring it out a little bit, and then it puts a small silt retention fence down so that they get that in place before they start tearing it apart. There's a little bit of construction equipment that's starting to show up out there, so they have to get this fence in place and then they go to town. Had a really good construction meeting on the 24th, very well attended. We got a lot of hangar owners and pilots there as well, so pretty good way forward. I think everybody knows everybody now and who's doing what, and it's right into the plan. They have about 100 days. That includes a little bit of weather, so that takes us to about the middle, later half of July. All the pavement gets done, and there's a cure time for the pavement that's up to 28 days, and then they come back, close it again for 4 days to do striping on the runway. So, but it's off and running. The two things that are there that are still outstanding is, of course, we had to short it a little bit because of funding. Still looking at the state to see if there's a little bit to make that up. There's a little bit of email traffic on that again today. It sounds like if it's out there, it comes in during construction. Dunnick's ready to make a change with PGR. For us, really cheap money because right now it's a 2.5% cost share to the city. So it was about $170,000 to get the apron back up the stub to be 100%. Another $100,000 or so if we add in the taxiway. So we start looking at $170,000 at 2.5%. It's only cost that back. So hopefully we can do that and we have at least a full apron. And always there's a little bit of drainage work they got to do that's a little bit different. DGR project manager, Baden Schneider, is soon to be a Monday through Friday resident of Springfield Annex, so he's got his room reserved over at the end, and he'll be the on-site guy to do that. So he'll be there. Our DGR project engineer, and then David and Brian, our other two guys, will be down here tonight. But we are off and running. Okay, abandoned property update. Very quickly, I'll touch this. We've discussed it a couple different times, but kind of gone over this. The Richard property out on the highway towards Casey's. A couple things that are outstanding. The county does have it for tax deed. They cannot transfer it or sell it to the city. They technically don't own it. They just own the tax deed. The owner on a tax deed, the owner can come back and pay the taxes right up to the minimum sale. So, part of the reason why they can't do anything earlier. Questions that I've had or that the council had, we either have our attorney working on it or go to the county, is who's going to take care of that property this summer? Because the city's been the one that's been mowing it and taking away some of the trees. It's been condemned, most of the buildings, so the county has certainly been willing to tear down buildings on tax deed before, so now that they have some control over it, are they going to do that? And then we have a special assessment that's overdue that's sitting up at the county auditor's office as well. It's over $2,000 for the mowing and the other upkeep that we've done that should be by law included on that tax deed sale. So
why don't we just cut down those trees?
Get
rid of the crap out of there.
Yeah.
So just cut the trees down. Or at least prune them, you know. Get rid of every other one or something.
Yeah. Jesus. Or do something for it. So
it's an eyesore.
Yes. Yeah.
First thing you see when you drive to town. Yeah.
Actually, it's the second thing to town, but it's the second place right now.
Okay. True.
Which isn't funny, but so like that.
That'd be money well spent if you ask me.
Pay for someone for firewood.
Chain's fine, you on there.
The next area that's covering that the county is looking at is the Riggs property, which they're moving out to tax deed sale. That's over a block south of Main Street, basically, south of Luke's repairs in the middle of the street. I think we have. Yes.
Is that the property that is in between Stolliker's and Fender's?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't think we have any cleanup money on it, but there is a water lien on there for $2,000 or a little more. So.
Can you explain where that is again? You said West of Luke, East of Luke Shop?
South. South. Walk south.
Oh, okay. Oh, but I'd have to drive by then.
It's in the middle of the street. It's a small house with a big yard in the middle of the street.
Is that the one that goes from here all the way down to the next one? I think, I don't know, Carl?
No, it's not a very big house.
Is on the west or the east side of the street?
South.
Yeah, south.
Wait a second. Maybe I ought to get my direction. South, it's blocked south, so it's on 7th Street.
Oh, on the south side.
It's on the south
side.
Between the brown house and that one on the corner?
That one hasn't been occupied. Okay. And then the other one are the two Jones properties on Main Street. The council's, our attorneys found that there's an open probate that continues amongst four beneficiaries. So
I have a question about one property on Walnut. I don't remember. It's like
that's new business.
We'll discuss that one at another meeting because right now it's not abandoned.
It's not old business anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, okay.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. It's a good question. It's just not something that right now is because of some.
Yeah.
I don't discuss just yet. We can put it in. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. And now we're up to the procurement policy, so I'll let Amanda take over.
Okay, this is what I had emailed on Friday afternoon. Basically, it is procurement is basically how we go about purchasing different items, and then also being in line with the federal uniform guidance. So anything, especially like with Department of Health, with that grant, working with RD and that type of thing, just updating this and getting it to where it needs to be. Some of the dollar amounts had to be bumped up according to South Dakota bid law. So I don't know, any questions?
Thank you. It was modeled after somebody else's.
Yes, it was modeled after, I want to say that it was City of Lynn, and they're pretty thorough in their stuff. So
so it wasn't created from scratch, is what I'm saying.
No.
Okay, fine.
Excuse me, Amanda. What city did you say it was followed?
Winner.
Okay.
Okay, so for the council,
I make a motion to approve it. As written.
No second.
Okay, so Stu made the motion to approve the procurement policy as recommended. Caitlin seconded. Are there any other discussion or questions on that policy? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So that policy, that passes, that policy will go into effect. As we're about to finish, I do have one alibi to go back to the airport. There was no pay app this month. But with the construction going on, given the timeline, there will be probably three payouts in a row, and they will be fairly large. That will add up to about $4 million pretty quick because the timeline with that. So I would expect next month we'll start this. Again, Amanda's worked with the funders to have a good policy or good procedure in place to those things moving. So, having no other business.
I have a question. I don't know if you've had a chance to research this, but I just think it's something that we need to address, not at this meeting, but in the near future. Have we heard anything more about the governor signing the municipality election law that we need to change our elections to June or November? And I guess my question with that is, in reading on that, one part sounds like it's mandatory. The other one sounds like we have the option. And how will that affect our ordinances?
No, that's a very good question. That's something we've discussed. We're going to wait till our own election's done and see some actual legal information out there. The bill she's talking about that did get approved and signed is designed to push it has some funky language about either allowing, like you said, or forcing municipalities and school boards to do their election during either a primary or a federal election. So the next cycle, should we do that or have to do it, we would have to determine, one, when would we want to have municipal elections.
Recommend bringing this up as an agenda item for the next
year. And two, how does it affect our laws? So we will add on. We're going to have to do a lot more legal research and so get some legal stuff that's coming out of the state to make that decision.
I was just curious if we've heard anything more. I have not read anything more, just that initial blurb.
No, I haven't heard anything, and I don't think anybody else has beyond that just yet. So,
okay, thank you.
Can I make a positive statement?
Sure. Positive moment. Go ahead.
No problem. It is. I don't know how many people have driven by, please help me out about it, what is it, 13th and Walnut? I noticed, and Saturday when I come into town, I'd take a double take and then I had to actually drive around. And I actually saw somebody, well, there was what, three or four people that was actually cleaning that place up.
So I'll turn your positive into a negative, and I think right now the assumption is if they put everything by the curb, the city will take it.
Okay. Well, that's fine. But at least I noticed that somebody was trying to do something there.
City's not gonna hold on.
Well, that's not.
But there's activity. Yeah, you're right. There's activity. So let's try to be positive. Until it turns into a negative, people. All right. I have no items for executive session, so we can, unless the council does, we can move to.
I make a motion.
Yes.
The hell's that?
It's embedded behind your picture. That
time delays.
Yeah, there's a recording that's for some reason attached to the slides each month that we don't know how.
It might be down at the bottom.
Okay.
So we have the slides.
All right. So we have no executive session then, as I understand it. So as we enter into adjournment, a couple things. Again, the election is tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. right here in this building for 3. The canvas is Thursday, April 10th at 11. So for council members, if you're not able to attend in person.
The only people that vote tomorrow are Ward 3.
Ward 3. City departments are closed Friday, April 18th and Monday, April 21st for the holiday as provided by the governor, Good Friday and Easter Monday. The next regular meeting as it stands today is May 5th. Remember, April 29th is Project Prison Reset Task Force. Public meeting here in Springfield as well. And then May 5th will be our annual reorganization meeting. So yes.
Minutes. All I'm saying for it.
We hope so.
Okay. I make a motion to adjourn then.
Seconded.
All right. So Stu made the motion. Steve seconded to adjourn. Those in favor say
aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Time now is 7:32 p.m. Eric. Please stop the reports.
Do we take something that's